You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Let this godly attitude be ours this week.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
God of love and God of grace, out of thy heart flows endless mercy and kindness and forgiveness. Remove the scales from our eyes and enable us to see thy blessings. Take away the stones from our thankless hearts and cause us to experience thy unexplainable grace. Change our griping to gratitude, replace our complaints with compassion, and O Lord, focus our eyes and guide our steps to the crucifixion cross of Calvary. And, O Lord, establish our hearts on thy Son Jesus Christ, the solid rock of thy salvation. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. The giant was strong. His brutish appearance and towering size caused even his worst enemies to fear and tremble. But then the unexpected happened. This human monster was slain to the ground by a single stone from the sling of a young shepherd boy. As David prepared to do battle with Goliath, King Saul offered David protective armor. David, however, decided against it. He went to battle with only 5 stones and a single sling. David, however, was empowered by a righteous conviction and protected by faith in the Almighty God. This brief contest and stunning outcome set the stage for David to become one of the greatest kings of all of history. David's rulership was greatly blessed. Under his direction, a great kingdom was built. He was a brilliant musician. His faith-building psalms have been repeatedly sung and spoken in every century. Churches and cathedrals and synagogues have given witness to resounding echoes of David's deepest lament and his highest expressions of God-centered joy. Material goods also came in David's direction. As preparations were made to build the great temple of Jerusalem with all of its splendor, David generously donated large quantities of his gold and silver. He gave bronze and iron and rare woods. He provided onyx stones and inlaid stones, stones of antimony, and all kinds of precious stones and alabaster in abundance. Like many of us today sometimes do, David could have boasted about his accomplishments and his wealth. He could have spoken of pulling himself up by his bootstraps, but he didn't. Instead, he gave all credit and glory to the Lord. David said, "Both riches and honor come from thee, and thou dost rule over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and it lies in thy hand to make great and to strengthen everyone." Now, therefore, our God, David continued, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name, for all things come from thee, and from thy hand we have given thee. By faith, David understood God. In his deepest trials, he had experienced God's tender love. In his sinful affair with Bathsheba, David, in despair, was overwhelmed by unconditional forgiveness. Oh, from generation to generation, God has demonstrated the same love and changeless mercy to all sinners. In his prayer, centuries before David, even Moses reminded the people, "The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions." Also, centuries after David, the apostle spoke powerfully of the God who is rich in mercy, and the God who showed the exceeding riches of his grace in Christ Jesus. The gracious God of Abraham, of Moses, and David is still our God today. Popular movies and best-selling books may vainly attempt to falsely portray God as an angry old man with an accusing finger. But don't let this ever mislead you. The Bible reveals God as a loving Father, a friend of sinners, a comforter of the lonely, a consoler of the aged, and a sustainer of those who have lost any and all hope. Oh, let your struggle for meaning in life, and let the anxious quest for peace in your heart be over. Your consoler, your helper, your confidence, and your everlasting King is Jesus Christ. He is now, the Bible says, seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty of the heavens. Jesus Christ is ruler of all. In sincere and earnest and persistent prayer, draw then with confidence to this throne of grace, and always know that you will receive mercy and find grace in your hour of need. "We thank thee and praise thy glorious name," David rejoiced, and he thanked the Lord, "for all things come from thee," he confessed. This type of godly confession surely sounds different from what we so often hear today. Paid political advertisements with special voices emotionally describe candidates who allegedly rose from their own valiant efforts from poverty to power. Oh, sure, movie stars and singers frequently brag of working themselves from poverty to fame. Recently promoted local businessmen are regularly featured in local newspapers. But the articles of recognition seldom reflect the attitude of David. Credit, however, is hardly ever given to divine providence. Entire slick magazines are now available at newsstands detailing success stories and how individuals accomplish this by working 20-hour days, by not taking no for an answer, and by maintaining an iron will perseverance. The question now is, why are we so stubbornly unwilling to acknowledge the hand and the blessings of the Almighty God, the one in whom we live and move and have our being? Oh yes, we listen eagerly to cassette tapes, we read paperback books, and we will shove almost anyone and anything aside in our desperate attempt to obtain man-centered motivational materials, hoping thereby to accomplish success by ourselves and for ourselves. Oh, when are we going to remember that if God removed his providential hand from the pulse beat of our heart, we would leave this life instantly? All of our blessings come from the very gracious hand of the living God. God has given us our body and soul, our eyes and ears and all our members, our reason and all our senses. The clothing and shoes we wear are direct blessings from our loving God. And consider this, even if we have been sinful and rebellious, God still blesses. Imagine. Because the Bible points out, God sends rain on the just and the unjust. And so by the power of God, let us, not only this week, but every week and every day, thank God for our meat and drink, our house and home, our possessions and all our goods. Yes, everything that he richly and daily provides us in order to support our body and life. And remember, you and I do not deserve one single thing. In fact, according to the Bible, if we deserve anything, it would be God's wrath for our sins and an eternal hell judgment for living a life other than what God expects. And yet God gives us his blessings purely out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness on our part, for all which it is our duty to thank and to praise and to serve and obey him. Now indeed, reflecting for only a short time on what God has done for you and me is a humbling experience. Without God, you and I could not get up in the morning. We could not breathe. We could not live. Take a moment and think, how successfully could you have formed yourself in your mother's womb? Ask yourself the question, where would you be today if God would not give your body the ability to fight disease? The first time you ever caught a cold, you would have been wiped out. Imagine if God would provide no rain or sunshine. How long would you and I live without food? At best, our nation could exist only a few months, and then this would all have to be done in terrible cold and total darkness. Greater than any one of these necessary blessings, however, is God's gift of His Son. In Jesus, God has given us power to live in the midst of terrible trials. In the innocent and terrible crucifixion, death of Jesus, God assures you and me that there is a complete and total forgiveness for the mistakes and sins of our past. In the triumphant resurrection of Jesus, there is a solid and living hope as we reach the end of this earthly life and as our family and friends prepare to lay us to rest in the earth. Let us then, with a sincere attitude of repentance and with a cleansed heart made thankful to a gracious God, share in the same glorious hope of King David of many centuries ago. In his Pentecost sermon, the Apostle Peter, referring to David's Christ-centered faith, said, and I quote, "Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day." The apostle continued by saying, "And so, because he was a prophet, and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to keep one of his descendants on the throne, David looked ahead," Peter said, "and spoke of the resurrection of Christ." Let David's example be our guide, and instead of fearing the future, and instead of worrying what happens after this life, with God's enabling spirit anchoring our listening soul, may we always speak with boldness and joy about the glorious and death-defeating resurrection of Jesus. At the empty Easter tomb, the angel said, "He is not here, he is risen." The angel was speaking of Jesus. This was astounding news for the bereaved disciples. It is also earth-shaking and hope-filling for us. For just as Jesus was raised from the dead, so shall all those who follow him also be raised and be guaranteed the hope of eternal life. As you listen to this message today, you may have very few material goods. Frequently, people write us and tell how they have so little income they can barely buy the necessities to keep body and soul together. Some, honestly, cannot even afford the stamp to send the letter. If this is your situation, then don't despair. God understands your situation. He is a loving God, and He knows exactly how you feel. Jesus is always concerned about the poor, those nobody else wants, the aged, the handicapped, and the dispossessed. Near New York City, there is a place called the Potter's Field. It is a burial ground for New York City's poorest of the poor. The penniless dead are picked up at morgues or city hospitals. The lifeless bodies are placed in a pine coffin costing $32.90. The price includes a tar paper lining and zinc nails to keep the lid shut. The remains are hauled away in a blue-gray aging Ford truck with over 100,000 miles on it. Arriving at the cemetery, space is a premium. Bodies go to the grave in a gang, 10 across and 3 deep, 143 bodies to the plot. And according to a local spokesman, since the bodies in the boxes decompose quickly, the same spot can be reused every 25 years. These details, my friends, sound repulsive in their reality. But no matter whether we are rich or poor, no matter how extravagant a funeral we may have, and no matter how luxurious our coffin may be, the end result is always the same. Just as God told Adam, "You shall return to the ground, because from it you were taken. For you were dust, and to dust you shall return." These sobering words did not discourage David. It was in his sunset years, in the final days of his earthly pilgrimage, that David said, Our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. For all things, David said, come from thee, and from thy hand we have given thee. Oh, let the love and the mercy of God flood your heart today also. Let the richness of his kindness, his patience, and his forbearance lead you unto sincere and daily repentance. Let the Spirit of God enable you to trust completely in your blessed Savior, your precious Redeemer, the one who stands ready at this hour to welcome you into the very mansions of heaven. Oh, stop concentrating on your problems. Let not your mind be overtaken with endless and hourly worries. And in the midst of your frustration, proclaim powerfully from the depths of your heart, my God reigns. In the hour of temptation, say with authority from your Savior, get thee behind me, Satan. And as you consider all your blessings, as you number them one by one, especially this week, with special thanksgiving, say with King David, O God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name, for all things come from thee, and from thy hand we have given thee. Amen.
Been listening to a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. If you have found this message helpful for your own life, may we suggest that you share this cassette with others? This cassette service is a special ministry of the Media Services Division of the International Lutheran Layman's League.